For those of you that are visiting with us for the first time this morning, the purpose of the meeting this morning is not to have a normal church service. How many of you know that normal is overrated? Normal is a setting on a washing machine. I don't like being normal. But the purpose is just to, at the start of the biking season, although for some it's already started, just to come before the Lord and say, Lord, we want your blessing upon us. We want you to keep us safe. We have a memorial run as well. That's where we remember the fallen bikers and their friends and family. Maar dis nadat hulle gegraduated, nee? And this is the purpose of this is just to take the time to just say, Lord, just keep us safe in this year. And it's for anybody and everybody, not only motorcyclists. And we just like to honor the biking community in a time like this and this morning. So I'd like to ask you, if you're a president of a club, or your pres or your vice is not here, but you're representing the club, would you stand, please? We'd just like to honor you in particular this morning. Nie skaam, ek gaan jou nie vra om vir extra geld, ek gaan jou nie vra om te preek nie, staan nie op. If you're the pres of a club, and your club, or your pres is not here, and your club is represented, would you just stand with us this morning? Anybody else? All right, let's give them a round of applause. Bless and thank you for your day. All right, thank you. You may be seated. And then as Dion has already announced, it's been a challenging time in the Vaal Triangle this week, and especially with the tragedy at Driehoek, Woerskool, and several other people have lost their lives. I'm doing a memorial service for somebody on Wednesday that I don't even know, but people have lost their lives. And I was standing at the sink doing dishes. Yes, I do the dishes. And I was having this imaginary conversation with myself where somebody asks me, Woody, as a pastoor, kan jy dank vir ons sê hoekom dit wat gebeur het by die hoërskool gebeur het daar? And guess what, people? Ek het nie antwoorde nie. Ek het nie antwoorde nie. Al wat ek vir julle kan sê is, God bly God. God bly God. Ongeag wat gebeur het, at the end of the day, our purpose is to spend an eternity with God. Not have as long a life as possible here on earth. Now that sounds harsh and it sounds onverskillig, but that's God's plan. God's plan doesn't include us sickling here on earth for as long as forever. He wants us to be with Him. So I just pray that this little passage of scripture that I'm going to share with you can somehow bring comfort in. And in this time of loss and sadness and grief, who bit jy? And I was praying for myself. I thought, Lord, there's prayers going up all over the country, probably even all over the world, everywhere, from people that probably never hear from you. And you never hear from them. Not they never hear from you. You never hear from them. But now they're praying because something bad has happened, and that's cool. So, wat bit the mens? And I just want to say that our prayers this morning must be every God-fearing, Spirit-led and Spirit-filled, righteous prayer of God. We stand in agreement with that. Can you say amen? But one thing to consider before we move on with what we've got planned for the rest of this morning is this passage from Isaiah chapter 57. It's from verse 1. And it says, the righteous perishes and no one takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away. And in this case, children. While no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. I submit to you, what about the possibility of God having spared those precious young lives from future tragedies, from being victims of the enemy in the future, from being spared somehow some form of harm that we don't know of? At the end of the day, folks, so oulik as wat ons wil wees met ons teksverse en ons Bybellesery en whatever, op die einde van die dag, God bly God. Ons moet onsself daarmee identifiseer, that at the end of the day, God is God, and no matter what happens, He's on the throne. And He always, always, always knows best. He knows best. So having said that, Father, as a body of believers and a community that is impacted by this loss, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And Father, first of all, we don't want to ask for anything. We want to thank you that you stay the same. Nothing has changed you. You're still a God of infinite love and mercy. Al is daar goed wat met ons gebeur, wat ons glad nie kan verstaan nie, wat nie sin maak vir ons beperkte kennis. Here, u bly soverein. U bly almagtig. En u bly 'n God van oneindige liefde. En ons dankie daarvoor. Ons staan nou in gebed voor u en sê, Here, ons tree in vir die families en die geliefdes wat geliefdes verloor het waar daar leemte is in 'n huishoud. 'N Kindertjie se lag is nie meer daar nie. Die spelery van 'n kind is nie meer daar nie. Thank you, Lord God, that you know what it's like to lose a child. You gave us your son Jesus after all. So you're the God of all comfort and peace. Would you be with those families in this time of need? In the name of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, amen and amen. I've got two sets of good news this morning. The good news is the good news of Jesus. And the good news is that I'm going to preach shorter than ever before. It's not even going to be an half an hour sermon. Some of you are like, yes, I'd like hierdie kerk. Hulle preek maar minie so. There's probably not a single person in the building this morning that has not heard of Jesus. Everybody's heard of Jesus. You've heard of baby Jesus in a manger. You've heard of King Jesus being risen from the dead. You heard of Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. This morning I want to introduce to you a different Jesus that we don't often get to hear, but this pastor is going to tell you about that Jesus this morning. Is that okay with you? Amen. I'm going to speak about Jesus in hell. Amen. Yes, Jesus in hell. Because he didn't just die for us, have a body that got a little bit old and started to stink a little bit in a grave, and then raise again, and then go to heaven and be with the Father and start preparing a place for his children. Jesus went to hell. We here this morning with an expectancy to receive a blessing from God. The only reason we can receive a blessing from God is because Jesus went to hell. The only reason that we can hope, have a hope and an expectation of a promise for the future and lay hold of the promises of God is because Jesus went to hell. The reason that we can come before a righteous God, a mighty God, a God who cannot look upon evil is because Jesus went to hell. What did he do in hell? Wie van julle het al julle 21ste jaar verjaarsdag gevier? Cool, you can put down your hands. How many of you are still getting there? Alle. Hey, hey. Die Here sien julle harte raak en julle neus so groei soos Pinocchio wat julle lieg, man. But you may or may not have received a key at your 21st birthday. I received a key. Some of you are looking like, what? Now, it wasn't a key to a bike or a car or whatever. I'd already got that, but I received the key. And the key is symbolic of you receiving authority for things. And where do you think that comes from, that tradition? Well, there's Bibles. It's scriptural. In the Bible, a key represents authority. I'd like to read to you this morning, Colossians chapter 2, verse 13 to 15. From the New Living Translation, second edition. And it reads like this. Speaking about us. You were dead because of your sins. Now, I want to clarify that just briefly this morning. Like I said, we're going to be brief because I want to get on my motorbike and ride. Hallelujah. Five of you are excited about that. I hope the rest of you vang gees voor die einde van die preek. It says, you were dead in your sins. You see, folks, you might think, well, my heart klop en ek haal nog, ek skep nog asem that you're alive. But unless you're living in Christ, you're just existing. I'm going to say that again. Unless you're living in Christ, you're just existing. You haven't experienced abundant life yet. God promises you, and I second His promise, that if you're living a life apart from Christ and serving Him your way, you're just existing. You haven't experienced life in abundance yet like God has promised for you. No matter how good a time you've had on earth up to now, you ain't experienced God's life for you yet, folks. You ain't existing. Therefore, he says, you were dead because of your sins and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. And then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Wow. Folks, that is good news. He canceled the record of the charges against us. There was a roadblock this week, I think it was, or last week. My wife in a panic phones me. She says, Mozzie, there's a roadblock. What must I do? I said, remain calm. The Mozzie's got this. Because I know how the Criminal Procedure Act works. I understand the system of fines and, you know, those, I call them performance awards. You get an award in the post confirming how well your vehicle. I tell her, don't worry about the performance awards. You've never received a summons. There's no warrants issued for arrest. They can do nothing. Needless to say, she gets there. They check her registration number and they said, madam, there is 9,000 South African rand outstanding on your name for performance awards. And she said, they said, but if you pay now, you only have to pay 4,000 rand. Ons hele lot vergeet. Well, guess what? That's just not good enough. We've received performance awards in the post, but we haven't signed for any summonses. Now, I'm not telling you it's right or it's wrong and saying to ignore the performance awards. I'm just telling you what happened at the roadblock. So you got this record of 9,000. That's just on her number plate. Mine has gone to the FBI's 10 most wanted in terms of fines. But here's the deal. There's a record against that number plate. And says, yeah, that the record of wrongs which were held against you was taken away. Why? Why was it taken away? Because it was nailed to the cross. It says this, he cancelled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. So that we can stand here today with a hope of salvation and a promise of redemption. Can you say amen? It says this, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. And this is the gist of what I want to share this morning. When Jesus was in the grave, ladies and gentlemen, imagine what it was like. Yes, Satan, who one time said, I will be like God, I will be like the Most High, and I will exalt myself above the heavenlies. While he was thinking that, God demoted him and kicked him out of heaven. People think there was this long, drawn-out battle where the demons got together and started warring against him. Man, it didn't happen like that at all. It's like an ant coming up against an elephant and saying, Achan, yo, six love club. The elephant is like, what? While Satan was still thinking this, reasoning this in his pup, he was demoted and kicked out of heaven. And he was struck down from here. So from the time he had these thoughts, Larry is thinking, that's it, I've got fallen man, I've got the better of them because of sin. I now rule God's creation and I can keep them slaves to sin and victims of sickness and crime and suffering. And this is going on all the time. And then they think, that's it, God comes to earth and the very people he comes to save choose to crucify him and nail him to the cross. We've killed God. You can imagine the demons, hey, goeie dop, we've killed God. And then he dies and he breathes his last on the cross and says, it is finished. And he commends his spirit to God. And the next minute, there's a rattling in hell. The next minute, there's a thunder and a vibration. The demons don't know what hit them. The next minute, who is on their doorstep? Their very maker, Jesus Christ himself. And he pitches up there. And he comes and he sets the record straight in hell. He goes down to hell for us. He takes the price of sin, death, and the grave for us. And Satan had authority over that stuff. And the scripture says in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18 in the message, it says, I'm alive. I died, but I came to life. My life is now forever. You can imagine them saying, Jesus saying, this isn't in the Bible, but just let your imagination run with you a bit this morning. Is it okay, church? You can imagine Jesus saying, yes, it's me. Jesus, the one that you thought you'd killed, it is me. The one who made you, it is me. I'm now taking authority away from you to steal, to kill, and to destroy for every man, woman, and child who surrenders his life to me. I'm here to overcome sin, death, and the grave. I'm here to set people free from sickness, pain, and suffering. I'm here to give men the ability to rise up and overcome sin. They don't have to be victims of sin their whole lives. People will struggle with issues all the time and battle and battle and battle. He says, no, I'm here to take that authority away from you. And I'm going to build my church on my death and resurrection. And he took the keys away. And in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, I'm alive, I died, but I came to life, and my life is now forever. See these keys? I can imagine this. The words are so beautiful. It's like Jesus saying, see these keys? I've got these keys now. And it's like these demons are like, wow, what are we going to do now? We no longer have authority over this. What are we going to do? Men who are filled with the Spirit of God are going to be able to come on demons to leave. They're going to have to leave at the mention of the name of Jesus. The name at which every knee shall bow and one day confess as Lord. And he says, see these keys? Wow, this is beautiful. See these keys in my hand? They open and lock death's doors. They open and lock hell's gates. And it says, in the New King James, it says, having disarmed principalities in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. What does it mean? This is how they celebrated victory over the enemy in those days. When a king and his army full of generals was defeated, they'd bind them up and tie them up and strip them of their clothing and mock them and spit on them and put all sorts of dirt on them to belittle them and to humiliate them as much as possible. Then the city that had the victory, the king that had the victory, would send messages ahead to let the people know, we are coming back victorious. We came, we saw, we kicked butt. And we are victorious. Prepare the city, prepare the streets. Then all the town folk and the city folk would line the streets in preparation for the victorious king to come. And there they'd come, dragging the king behind them in shackles and chains. And it says what the kings and the generals would do, would take the kings and the generals, lay them down, and put their foot on their necks like that to publicly humiliate them, saying, I'll make you my footstool. I make you now the thing on which I wipe my feet. That's the picture. That's the image. This is what was happening when Jesus died on the cross and went down to. He publicly shamed them and made a spectacle of them. When the devil thought that he was being made a spectacle of by hanging naked on a cross, God was going to turn around and make a spectacle of the devil. That's the imagery here. And folks, it's because of this that this morning we can get together as a group of believers and say, Lord, we want some of this goodness. Can you say amen? We want this blessing. We want to receive your promises for our lives. And folks, here's the beauty of this thing that people call religion, Christianity, when it's actually a relationship. The challenging thing is that it's a choice. You can choose and sit here this morning and have as much of the things of God in your life as you want, or as little of it as you want. You can sit hardnekkig and dikbekkig and dikvellig and dik alles, whatever, and you can say, no, well, that's it. I'm just going to do it my way, and that's it. Ek het nie godsdienst nie. I don't need this church stuff. Fine. You can live like people say that you can't live without God. You can't live without Jesus. Of course you can. Billions of the people or people on the planet are. They're existing without Jesus. But you will not experience a life of abundance like God meant it for you apart from Jesus Christ. Amen. And folks, the choice is yours this morning. I wonder, what will you choose? What will you choose? I'm going to close off by reading stuff for you, and my preaching is done. And then we're going to get you to receive a sticker. The sticker says, blessed in 2019. As you think, ach, look, a simple sticker key. This is just symbolic of you in faith coming to a place on a Sunday and saying, God, I want your best for my life. And to remind myself of what you promised, the promises that we're going to read to you now, this sticker is just going to remind me, Lord, that you want me to live a blessed life. We're going to get you to go to your motorcycle or your car or your caravan or whatever it is that you got. And just to stand there if you want to. We'd love to lay hands on you. Lay hands on you. And pray with you and pray a blessing over you this morning. The people that are going to pray with you, do they have some secret recipe or something? No, it's just simple men and women of God that love Jesus. I want to share their faith with you and pray God's blessing over you. So we'd like you to receive a sticker on your way out and wait. As jy nie wil nie, you don't have to. Don't feel bad. Ons gaan jy nie kwalik neem nie as jy wil ry. Wait at your vehicle. We're going to pray over you as soon as possible that we can be on our scooters and go off to our breakfast run destination for this morning. But I want to read to you in closing these two things. The first one is it's called Father's Love Letter. It's Daddy God's love letter to you. Every line of every sentence that I'm going to read to you this morning comes out of Scripture. It is scriptural. Chapter and verse is there. I'm not going to read it to you for the sake of time. But this is God's letter to you this morning. Would you open up your heart and your mind and your spirit to receive God's love letter for you? Would you do that with me this morning, church? My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know you when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered, for you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being, for you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. And now I've lost my place, but I have found it again. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I'm not distant and angry, but I am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you, simply because you are my child and I am your father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand of the seashore, and I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek for me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do for you far more than you could possibly imagine, for I am the greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. And when you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I'll wipe away every tear from your eyes and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on the earth. I am your father and I love you, even as I love my son, Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. And he came to demonstrate that I am for you and not against you. And to tell you that I'm not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything that I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me, and nothing will ever separate you from my love ever again. Come home. And I'll throw the greatest party heaven has ever seen. I've always been Father. And I will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I'm waiting for you. Signed, love, Dad. Every single one of those words and sentences come from Scripture. How many of you have never heard the Bible that way before? Chapter and verse from Scripture. That's the message of the Bible. A love letter from a father to his children. And because of that, I now want to proclaim God's blessing over you. From the throne room of heaven, from God Most High, to the innermost corners and recesses of your life, that you invite the Spirit to touch you and liberate you and set you free, that you experience the peace of God in your life like never before. Are you ready to receive God's best for you this morning, church? Lord, thank you for making us righteous and accepted through the blood of Jesus. Because of that, we are blessed and highly favored by you. We are the object of your affection. Your favor surrounds us as a shield. And the first thing that people will come into contact when they encounter your children is your favor shield. Thank you that we have your favor, that your favor is with us and with men today, Lord God. All day long and all year long, people will go out of their way to bless us and to help us because of your favor on our lives. We have favor with everyone that we deal with in this year ahead. Doors that were once closed are now open for us. And we receive preferential treatment and have special privileges because we are your children. We are your favored children. No good thing will you withhold from us. Because of your favor, our enemies cannot triumph over us. We have supernatural increase and promotion. We declare restoration of everything that the devil has stolen from us. And we have honor in the midst of our anniversaries and an increase of assets, especially in real estate, and an expansion of territory in the name of Jesus, because we have your favor. Because we are highly favored of you, we experience great victories, supernatural turnarounds, and miraculous breakthroughs in the midst of great impossibilities. We receive recognition, prominence, and honor. Glory to you because of your favor on our lives. Petitions are granted to us, even by ungodly authorities, because of your favor on us. Policies, rules, regulations, and laws are changed and reversed on our behalf, in our favor, because of your favor. We win battles that we don't even have to fight, because God, you fight them for us. This is the day that you have made, the set time and the designated moment for us to experience the free favors of God that profusely and lavishly abound on our behalf, in the name of Jesus Christ. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance upon you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. These things we pray in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Let's give the Lord a praise offering this morning. We bless